Welcome to MLB from CDA Baseball. I'm your host, James Morris. What we're going to talk about is why Austin Riley, the most underrated player of 2021, did not win the MVP, and why Bryce Harper did somehow. We're going to talk a little bit more on the lockout and my top 25 players in 2021. Let's get right into it. Let's talk about Austin Riley. In 2019, he wasn't the best player, only playing 80 games, 18 home runs, 50 RBIs, and only batted 226. So obviously not the greatest year in 2019, and he never did anything very well that year. That year, no one really trusted him that much because he wasn't all-around amazing player. He had five errors in 2019. He just didn't play to what people think he could play. He didn't play to his best. He didn't hit very well. His form, even mid, was off, and he just didn't play to what his talent was. But he is a great player. He was overall pick 41, so not he was so-so. In 2019, not the great season. 2020, the shortened season with only 60 games. He played 51, so they're trying to get him more playing time, as it says here. And only 8 home runs, you can't say much on only a 60-game season. Batted 239. And had the same amount of walks than he did in 2019 with 16 walks. So the walking got a lot better. But he got probably a little worse with everything that year. He didn't play very well. He had a decent amount of errors. He had 7 errors in 2020. Only 52 games. So that's not what you are 51 games. So that's not what you want from a good caliber player. But then in 2021, he started working out with Chipper Jones for almost every day for the entire offseason. And he turned a whole corner. So in he played 160 games, only 2 games from the most in MLB of 2021. And he hit 33 home runs. And let's go back. 2019, he only hit 18. 2021, 33. He's the comparison of 2021, he got 107 RBIs in 2021. 2019, 49. 2021, he batted 303. 2019, he batted 226. So that right there is amazing. I mean, his speed isn't great, no stolen bases at all, but his fielding was phenomenal. I mean, he didn't win a gold glove, but in my opinion, he easily deserved it to be just other players. I mean, you got other veteran players that deserve to win it, but he had 14 errors, which is pretty good if you think about it, especially since, like, you got overrated players like Bo Bichette and Fernando Tatis Jr. that can hit but can't field. I'll get into that a little bit later, but Austin Riley is an amazing player. He can hit, he can field, he can pretty much do everything the team wants. And why did he not win the MVP? Gonna get into that. I think that his fielding, for one, is great, but I think the reason he did not go in the MVP was because his last 2 years ago, 2020, 2019, he did not play well at all. And in 2020, he just magically rebounds from that. And I think they're so used to those last two seasons that they think he can't do it again. That's the reason he didn't win the Cy or the MVP. But with only 14 errors, you know, that's not bad, but that's not amazing. But like Bo Bichette, Rafael Devers, Fernando Tatis, Javier Baez, all those big name players, 24 for Bichette, 22 for Devers, 21 for Tatis, 20 for Baez, and that's a lot of errors. That's the most in MLB. And with Austin Riley with only 14, that's great. That's what we need from a leader like that. And how did he bounce back so much like that? How did he bounce back from a horrible season, which is good to forget? And how did he do it? Well, I think I kind of already told you this, but he worked really hard. He worked with Chipper Jones. He worked with tons and tons of players, and he really worked hard with that. I'm trying to see here. He was 16th in the most errors, so that's very good. 16th It's just crazy to me. I'll get in this later, but Fernando Tatis Jr. is overrated. The second most errors in all of MLB. He can hit pretty much only for power. But, I mean, there's lots of signs why he shouldn't have won this MVP. Okay, let's have more comparisons on Austin Riley and Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper was the MVP winner. But, okay, so home runs, Bryce Harper had 35. Home runs for Austin Riley, he had 33. So not much of a difference, only two difference there. Bryce Harper had 309 average, and Austin Riley batted 303. 2021 also, Bryce Harper got 84 RBIs. Austin Riley with 107. And then walks for Bryce Harper, 100. And walks for Austin Riley, 52. That's not a great sign for Austin Riley there. But lastly, let's go into strikeouts. Bryce Harper struck out 134 times. Austin Riley struck out 168. So, I mean, Bryce Harper, yeah, he's a little bit better than Austin Riley in most of those stuff. But Austin Riley was way, way, way down MVP votes. I mean, I think he only got about 15 or 16 MVP votes. And you look at Bryce Harper, like 300 or 400 votes. I mean, so yeah, I guess I'm half wrong. Bryce Harper is probably better than Austin Riley. But does Bryce Harper really deserve to be the MVP? I mean, Austin Riley is like way, way down. He's not even close from being even fourth or fifth place, even sixth place. And he just has very, very little difference between Bryce Harper. And I think Austin Riley at least deserves to be third place because Austin Riley can hit, he can field, he can do everything there is. Just like Bryce Harper can. And Bryce Harper, I think maybe this is half the reason why Bryce Harper won the MVP is because he's literally been good since 2012. Like, I mean, I'm not even joking. He's batted 300 pretty much every single year. And he's played over 100 games every single year as well. Rookie of the Year, MVPs, he's been he's been pretty much everything. Like, he's been an all-star. He's a great player. And I know I'm doing this that Bryce Harper isn't the they're both in the National League, and so we can look into the American League a little bit, but yeah, I mean, you can't really do that, but we'll get a little more into the lockout. We're just going to talk a little bit more about Bryce Harper, his stats, and all about him here. So without further ado, let's get into it. Bryce Harper is an amazing player, as we well know. Not much of a difference between Austin Riley and him. But the votings, Bryce Harper definitely won. I believe a few of you guys are wondering. Fernando Tatis Jr. came in third place, if I remember right. But Bryce Harper is an amazing player. He's been amazing for a long time. His worst year is, I don't know, honestly. So he was an All-Star in 2012, All-Star 2013, 15, 16, 17, 18 as well. He was a Rookie of the Year. He was an MVP four times. He was actually MVP and a Rookie of the Year in the same year. But he was an All-Star 6 times, an MVP 4 times, a Rookie of the Year 1 time, obviously. But he's an amazing player. He's always been good. I don't think he should have won the MVP. I feel like it should have been Austin Riley. Well, maybe it shouldn't have been Austin Riley, but who do I think should have won it? I'm actually going to check on that. I'm going to look up MVP candidates and who I think really deserves to win the MVP. Okay, so I've been looking for a while now, and first was Bryce Harper, two is Juan Soto, three is Fernando Tatis, and four was Brandon Crawford. And I'm completely surprised Brandon Crawford was seventh. I mean, I don't think he even batted 300. But my opinion, the winner of all this should have been Juan Soto. I've been looking at his stats. His stats are phenomenal. Most walks in National League or for the Nationals ever. And let's talk about Juan Soto a little bit. 29 home runs, 95 RBIs, batted 313, and walked a lot. He had 145 walks and only struck out 93 times. Has 10 stolen bases, played 151 games. And looking at these stats, Bryce Harper is a little bit better. Power is better than him. But I like Juan Soto. He just, everything is smooth when it comes down to him. But let's compare the other seasons. So home runs for Juan Soto was 29. Home runs for 2021 for Bryce Harper was 35. RBIs for Bryce Harper, 84. Juan Soto got 95. So lots more there. Walks, 145 for Juan Soto. Bryce Harper got 100. So overall, I think Juan Soto's up by 2. Bryce Harper's up by 1. And now we'll go into average. 313 for Juan Soto. Bryce Harper batted 309. It's 3-1 Juan Soto takes the lead. Strikeouts, 93 times for Juan Soto. Bryce Harper, 134. 5-1 Juan Soto is ahead, I believe it is. I think it's 5-1. We'll go, I'm honestly just randomly picking. I'm not trying to let Juan Soto win here. Let's go hits. Hits for Juan Soto, 157. Hits for Bryce Harper, 151. Juan Soto easily has beaten Bryce Harper in every single statistic, pretty much, except home runs. And Bryce Harper got the MVP, and Juan Soto came in second place. Why is that? Okay, honestly, this, I have no idea. I think he easily deserves to win, at least according to these statistics. 2018, Juan Soto was a decent player. 22 home runs, 70 RBIs, batted 292. 2019, 34 dingers, batted 282, 110 RBIs. 2020, we're just gonna not count that. He did have a good year that year though. But 29 home runs this year for Juan Soto, batted 313. So his average is way better, and he's gotten a lot more solid in his contact. But I think most of us are all surprised that Bryce Harper won the MVP. I mean, Austin Riley is barely worse than Bryce Harper. Juan Soto is way better than Bryce Harper with those stats. And that's just that. I guess people who vote for the MVP, which can't be us people. It's more of a... it's the writers and journalists and everything that vote. But that's just... It is what it is. But here's one thing I did forget. I forgot one of my topics. John Lester and Kyle Seager have retired. One of the two big name players in the MLB, and Kyle Seager retired after having an amazing season. I believe he was even an All-Star, but he was an amazing player, and we're going to talk about that too as well. But we're going to talk about the lockout first, and without further ado, let's talk about, this is what Rob Manfred, the commissioner for MLB, says about the lockout.
I have to report that effective at 12:01 a.m. this morning, we instituted a lockout of Major League players. We took this action with the support of all 30 clubs after we failed to reach a new agreement with the Players Association, despite our very best efforts. We came to Texas to make a deal. We committed to the process. We made proposals, and it just did not happen. After the owners' meeting in Chicago, I made clear the rationale for an off-season lockout. It's the norm in professional sports. And we feel it's the best strategy to protect the 2022 season for the benefit of our fans. We made the mistake of playing without a collective bargaining agreement in 1994, and it cost our fans and our clubs dearly. We will not make that same mistake again. It's important to keep perspective on the lock issue.
So that's what Rob Manfred, our MLB commissioner, says, and a lot of us are very sad what's happening. But this is I didn't really know what was going on with the podcast. I did it right away. I honestly barely had any idea what was going on. But now, since I've been doing a lot more research, I've been starting to figure out what's been going on. First, MLBPA, they're. Well, first, we're going to talk about the main subjects, because if you guys don't know what's going on, there's been an expire of rules finances for the CBA, that's the collecting bargaining agreement, I think it is. They, some kind of rules have been expired, so MLBPA won't budge on some of their rules, I guess. But, both sides are not coming on agreement, and we don't know what's going to happen next. So this is exactly, I just found it now, what exactly the owners want and what the players want. So this is what's happening. The owners want a replace, or they want lower luxury tax and tax threshold. They want more revenue sharing, and they want a later free agency. They want free agency to go on for longer amount. The players want earlier free agency. They want no luxury tax. They want no revenue sharing, and they want a higher minimum salary. And also, I meant to say the owners also want a extended playoffs, but. What's going on here is that the owners will not, which is kind of the CBA, but the owners will not play unless they can't have the things I just told you. They will not let the players play if they don't have what they want, which is replace arbitration, lower luxury tax threshold, more revenue sharing, later free agency. And the players can't really do anything about that, but they do have one scenario they can decide with the two agreements. The players, as I said, they want earlier free agency. They want no luxury tax. They want no revenue sharing. They want higher minimum salary. The owners will not let them play without what they want. But what their people are saying is they could switch. They could. The owners, they're saying that the more revenue sharing, they can switch in that for earlier free agency. They'll say, they'll just switch. They'll make trades and say, okay, we'll lower the tax threshold. The owners will. But we'll give you guys a higher minimum salary, and then we'll have a later free agency, and we'll give you no luxury tax. So that's just kind of how it is. That's what they're trying to do. At least we hope they're trying to do. That's just kind of what's going on right now. The owners aren't very happy. Honestly, this is what the owners are saying. They could go into strike. The players. It's very likely that MLB could go into strike because. There's been very, very little progress, if any, about this MLB lockout and what's going on with it. But I'm just really sad what's happening. Rob Manfred is not the greatest manager at all. He has not helped us out in any ways. None of us like him that much, but that's what he has to say about that. But the players, they also want a universal DH, and obviously the owners don't want that, but they're easily willing to trade in probably for the luxury tax or something like that. They're easily, they say it's not a huge deal, but they don't want that to happen, but they could easily make a trade. There's just a lot of stuff going on in the MLB CBA agreement. So the CBA agreements is just all the trades that might happen, and also another thing, the owners want a longer pitch clock, so Rob Manfred mostly. Or a slower pitch clock. So I mean, I think it was like 15 seconds before a pitcher could pitch the ball. And they want the time to go longer. They want the games to go slower or faster, and they want it to hurry up and everything. Also, they don't want there to be a DH because they have to pay more and a higher salaries to each players. But it's easier. I think this could actually happen is the CBA, they would trade pitch clock in for earlier free agency. Players want earlier free agency. The owners want a faster pitch clock. They could easily switch in that for both sides and easily make an agreement. I just don't feel like they don't want to make an agreement. Nothing's really going on that could happen. But the lockout is probably going to delay spring training. I think that's what all of you guys are asking about. I just got some news earlier today that said almost guaranteed that the lockout will probably not even have a spring training this year, which is very, very sad. Because this, according to Rich Hill, the Mets pitcher, did say they have made little progress, so little is better than none. But that's just kind of how it is. Rob Manfred did say he will not speculate on the 2022 season of the cancellation of games. So we don't know much about that either. We really do not know much, but we're just really hoping we can't go on a strike because we don't even like lockout. As of like right now, technically the pitchers go and pitcher and catcher like camp. They would warm their arms up for spring training and get ready for the spring training time to come. And spring training is less than 25 days, so everyone's just right now. Everyone would be anxious for their season and. Very first game starts like April, I believe it is, something like that, in March. really hoping it doesn't go into a strike. Not even, we don't even want a lockout to happen, but best case scenario, in my opinion, spring training is delayed. Can still play the spring training, and there's still a 162-game season. And that's the best-case scenario. And I really don't feel like we'll have a spring training, but I think we'll have a 162-game season. That's my opinion. But that is that. Let's now get into some retirements of John Lester. John Lester, a pitcher who has pitched for a long, long time, has officially retired. He was 7-6 with a 4.71 ERA and is a pretty good player. He's been playing since 2006 and is a great player. He's had four shutouts his entire year. He's averaged 3.66 ERA his entire year. He is 200-117 for win-loss record and has been solid all year long. We were kind of all expecting him to retire this year. He was an all-right player, and he's played for the Red Sox most of his years. He's played for the A's 1 year, Cubs, and then the Nationals, and then the Cardinals. So he might have a chance at the Hall of Fame. We don't know. But, oh, that actually reminds me. David Ortiz has won Hall of Fame. David Ortiz is officially in the Hall of Fame. A big, big, big name Red Sox player who retired 2 or 3 years ago. But Kyle Seager, the brother of Corey Seager, I believe it is a former professional third baseman for the Mariners and is a great, great player. He's a third baseman. He retired with 35 home runs and 101 RBIs. Yes, the average was only 212, but 35 home runs and 101 RBIs, you just can't retire from that. But he has officially retired. He's a great player. We'll always remember him for the former Mariner player. And yeah, that's what it is. And yeah. So what? I don't know if I'm gonna do top 25 players. Probably gonna do my top 10 players in my opinion. But this is gonna be my top 10 players here. And tell me if you disagree. But this is okay. So this is what it is. Top 10 best MLB players in 2021. This is in my opinion. Number 10, I think, is Trey Turner. He had 28 home runs, 77 RBIs. Had the best average, and right now I cannot remember it. 328, that was his average. Best average in MLB, is a solid player, has always been really good, went to the Dodgers after spending most of the season with the Nationals. He's an amazing player, he can really hit, cannot hit home runs as we... Well, actually, 28 home runs, you can't hit, but... MVP probably should have been in the top four. I think he was fifth or sixth, but still is a great player. Number 9, Austin Riley. Actually, I think Austin Riley deserves to be a little bit lower than that. But Carlos Correa is 8th in my opinion. Austin Riley is an amazing player. We already talked about him, so I'm not going to dig too much into him. But top 9 in all baseball players, in my opinion. Number 8, Carlos Correa. 26 home runs, 92 RBIs, and 17 hits in the postseason. Can't get you much better than that. Great player. Great leader, can play shortstop, is actually a free agent this year. Check out my podcast, episode ago, whatever. I talked about him a lot. Number seven, Fernando. I'm going to say Fernando Tatis Jr. He does not deserve to be, in my opinion, but he does have 42 home runs. He does have 97 RBIs, but he does also have the second most errors in MLB. But he's a great player, stole 25 bases, been his third in NL MVP voting after crushing a league-leading 42 home runs alongside 31 doubles, 97 RBIs, and 25 stolen bases. He's an amazing player. He will help every team. He's going to be the Padres for a while if they can regroup their team and do better next year. Number 6, Marcus Semien, 45 home runs and 102 RBIs. Holy smokes, most home runs for a second baseman ever, I believe it is.